Welcome to the Windsor Podcast.
I don't know about you, but I got into this to help people. We need more openness and more transparency in government.
Here's your host, Mark McKenzie.
Yeah, thanks so much for tuning into the Windsor Podcast this week. I am your host, Mark McKenzie. Visit us online, windsorpodcast.com, and make sure to subscribe through your favorite podcast app. Subscribe, follow, click the plus button, whatever you got to do there. Every app's different. I don't know what to tell you. got a lot to get to today. We're going to chat with Tony Smith from Garage Gym. Again, get a little update on my 6WT, the six-week transformation, as I am taking part in that at Garage Gym, the Windsor location. They do have three locations, though. Windsor, Amherstburg, Kingsville, thegaragegym.net for more info. So we will talk to Tony Smith again coming up. He's the owner of Garage Gym coming up in just a little bit. Ronaldo Agostino, city councilor for Ward 3, going to be joining us in a little bit as well. Big announcement this week regarding downtown safety. So we're going to touch on that a little bit because there's a lot of aspects to it. Everybody's talking about the whole police side. I want to kind of dive into a few of the other things that are involved with this announcement for downtown safety, because it doesn't really just focus on downtown. That's where a lot of it is, but it's also going to affect the other wards in and around Windsor. So again, we'll talk to Ronaldo coming up in just a little bit as well. One thing I want to touch on really quick is TikTok, because that's been making the news this week. So the U.S. government, President Joe Biden, has actually signed a bill that would either force TikTok's parent company, Beijing-based ByteDance, to sell its share of the social media app within a year or face a ban in the U.S., which is the platform's largest market. So the proposed ban was slipped into this $95 billion aid package for Ukraine. First off, I hate that they do this. I hate that they slide in these other bills, you know, these other policy changes, all inside, I guess, of this one bill. So again, it was slipped into this $95 billion aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. And it was signed into law this past Wednesday, again, by U.S. President Joe Biden. What a way to do it, though, right? So TikTok has since promised to challenge the unconstitutional law in court. And I assumed that was going to happen, right? They're not going to just walk away from this. And so a lot of people now talking about, well, what's Canada going to do? Well, Trudeau says he's not going to comment on what other governments are doing, but that his own Liberal government will continue to look out for Canadians' security. He says, quote, "We know that the security, the privacy, and the data protection of Canadians needs to be a first priority for us." He says they've already taken significant measures on that and will continue to do that. I don't see Trudeau doing anything with TikTok. Trudeau has a pretty good working relationship with China. We won't go down that whole discussion about how much he loves China. Obviously, we know that he's come out publicly and pretty much said that he loves the fact that China is a communist government because it's easy for them to pass bills and get things done. I mean, remember this comment?
The level of admiration I actually have for China, their basic dictatorship is allowing them to actually turn their economy around on a dime and say, we need to go green as fast as we need to start, investing in solar. I mean, there is a flexibility that I know Stephen Harper must dream about of having a dictatorship that he could do everything he wanted.
Right. So we know that Trudeau loves China. All right. Everybody already knows that. Now, they did ban TikTok on government devices. So if you're an MP, if you work for the federal government and you have a federal government issued cell phone, you can't have TikTok. We've done the same thing here in the city of Windsor. You can't have TikTok on your municipal phone. So as councilors, we do get our own city-issued cell phone, which I hate, by the way. I wish we never got these. I just use my personal for everything. I rarely touch that city phone, to be quite honest with you. I mainly just use it for email because it's easier to access the city email through that. And that's really the only thing I use it for. But yeah, so it's been banned. We're not alone. You know, a lot of municipalities have banned TikTok from their devices. And the reason being is that in China, the government has some control over a lot of these large corporations. And so you actually have to share information with the Chinese government. And so what a lot of, you know, people are saying is that TikTok shares that privacy data with the Chinese government. So now they're getting data on anybody who uses it. So they could be spying on you, right? Have you ever looked, you know, when you install an app, you ever look at everything that you're agreeing to? You might as well be giving away your firstborn. It's crazy. And it's not just TikTok. I mean, Facebook, Instagram, they all do it, right? Grocery store apps. It's insane. So, I mean, look, the federal liberals did order a national security review of TikTok last September. And again, the app is banned on federal government devices. However, I find it interesting that it's still used by the federal liberal and NDP parties, again, which are using it to try to reach young Canadians who increasingly flock to TikTok to discover news and information and popular culture, especially, you know, news and information, because we know that this liberal government banned news from being on Facebook, where a lot of people used to get their news. So now they're all going to TikTok to get their news. So I find that a little hypocritical, is the fact that, you know, the federal liberals, again, have said, we don't want TikTok on any government-issued phone, and we're going to order a national security review of TikTok. But yet the party and the NDP still using TikTok, again, trying to reach those young Canadians. The federal government even invited influencers who have a following on TikTok to events and like private briefings. They even included them for a housing announcement, and even invited some of those TikTok influencers to the recent federal budget. So, you know, again, hypocrisy is the word, I think, here. Now, TikTok, you know, despite its issues, it is the fastest growing social media app in Canada. And I'm not going to say I don't use TikTok, because I actually do use TikTok. The only thing I really use TikTok for, I'm going to be totally honest with you, again, to get not even really news. It's easier to find clips sometimes on TikTok than it even is on YouTube. So I like to find some clips on there, you know, like things that are going on in the House of Commons and Queen's Park. And they'll sometimes, you know, they'll post things like that. And recipes, to be honest. I know that sounds crazy, but you can find some really good healthy recipes on TikTok. You're starting to see some of that more on Instagram. Not so much the news stuff, but definitely the recipes. And I've never been a huge Twitter fan. Twitter, I've been using Twitter a little bit more just the past year. Again, mainly just for news, because you can't get it on Facebook anymore. And, you know, sometimes you're just scrolling and you follow those, you know, your news channels there. And at least it's kind of easy to see what pops up there. Because sometimes things get hidden when you go to the websites, or, you know, the websites have the paywall and then you can't access it anyway. Just so you know, though, little, you know, side here. If you go to the Windsor Public Library website, you can, if you have a card, perfect. If you don't, sign up for a digital card, and then you can use Press Reader, and you can access like thousands of newspapers, magazines, publications, and stuff. So just a heads up for you. So will Canada, though, ban TikTok like the U.S.? I guess we'll have to wait and see. Again, I don't think it's going to end up happening anytime soon. I do know that the conservatives, though, quote, do take seriously all the threats to privacy and security from foreign authoritarian regimes, and will always defend the individual privacy rights of Canadians. They say that Trudeau should be upfront and ensure Canadians are aware of the risks associated with using the apps. Now, an official for TikTok previously told a House of Commons committee that the company is taking steps to protect Canadians' data by storing it in servers in the U.S., Malaysia, and Singapore. I don't know, that doesn't make me feel more safe. That being said, though, you know, you should know the risks that are associated with these apps. And again, that goes with any app. That doesn't only mean TikTok. I'm talking about, you know, Instagram, Facebook, Threads, who uses that, Twitter, you know, any app, really. I know a lot of people are using, like, Alibaba to buy things and Temu. You wouldn't believe the amount of security threats that would pose, right? So there's issues with any app, right? If you want to be 100% safe, don't use any apps, because every single app is accessing some of your data, right? Some of your information. And so if you really want to be safe, don't use any apps, including a banking app. You go into the bank to do all your banking. You know, it's going to be a little bit less inconvenient, though. But that's it, you know. And really, I mean, just don't have a cell phone if you're worried about security and data breaches and things like that, right? It's tough, though, in this day and age. Like, I know for one, like, I couldn't even imagine not having a cell phone. I couldn't imagine not having certain apps on my phone. I think I could go without, you know, the social media apps. I could do that. I wish I could. Being, you know, in politics, being an elected official, obviously I need to have that because my constituents are on there. So I need to be accessible to my constituents. But as you notice, like, I wish I had the time to post on Facebook every day. I don't have that kind of time, to be quite honest. I wish I did. I know Ronaldo is great at it. I need to maybe get better at it. I probably should. I find this a lot easier, right? I wish more people would just contact me through email, because that makes it easier as well, instead of on social media. And I try to direct people to email me at mmckenzie@citywindsor.ca, just because it makes it easier when then I got to forward that email to the certain departments, instead of then copying and pasting or saying, hey, thank you for the message, can you send this by email? I sometimes feel bad doing that. But honestly, I'll try to get better, you know, at posting more often on social media as well, just because I know that a lot of people are there. And but again, this is a tough job, right? And I'm running around all day. I'm trying to deal with issues. And I find that is, you know, what I really need to be focusing on is, you know, maybe I don't focus so much on the social media. At least, again, for me, I'd rather if something has to, you know, kind of end up at the bottom of the list. Again, I'd rather take care of those residents' issues first, make sure all that's taken care of, and then, you know, if I have time, focus on the social media stuff. So, but I guess we'll see what happens with TikTok over the next few months or so, especially in the U.S. I guess we'll see how this, you know, goes to the courts and everything. Sticking with federal politics, Justin Trudeau really now starting to attack Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre. And obviously, you know, it's about a year and a half until the next election. I don't see there being an early election. I don't see Trudeau, you know, all of a sudden saying, surprise, we're going to have an election. Not unless their approval numbers like skyrocket, which I don't see happening either. But we already know that they pushed the election date by a week, so that all of those Liberal and NDP MPs can get their pension. Eric Kazmierczak, of course, included in that also. The NDP did support that motion that the Liberals put forward to, again, move the election date by 1 week. It's going to cost Canadian taxpayers millions and millions upon millions of dollars, not only now, but over, you know, the next few decades, just because, again, now, you know, some of these MPs who were, you know, elected 6 years ago Now they're going to be able to hit that mark where they'll be able to claim their pension, right? Where if we stuck with the original election date, they would have missed it by a week. So, you know, it's ridiculous. But Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, again, now accusing Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre of, quote, welcoming the support of conspiracy theorists and extremists after Pierre Poilievre was photographed meeting with some protesters, which, of course, Pierre Poilievre's office has defended. And so here's what Trudeau said. He said that every politician has to make choices about what kind of leader they want to be. Are they the kind of leader that is going to exacerbate division, fear, and polarization in our country, make personal attacks, and welcome the support of conspiracy theorists and extremists, end quote. He says, well, I guess he goes on and he says, because that's exactly what Pierre Poilievre continues to do, mainly suggesting that Poilievre has yet to present a plan to lead that goes beyond, quote, exploiting Canadians' fears. Are they fears? You know, or I should say, are they conspiracy theories? You know, when it's all true? Like, is he really exploiting Canadians' fears? These are legitimate fears. People are worried about losing their home. They're worried about even being able to purchase a home. They're worried about heating their homes. They're worried about buying groceries. So how, I mean, that's a political leader's job. That's a politician's job, is to work for the residents, work for the citizens of this country. And if those are the main concerns that people have in this country, obviously that's what you're going to be talking about. That's what you're going to try to fix. The crazy thing about Prime Minister Trudeau is that he goes on and on about how young people can't afford a home, how the price of groceries has skyrocketed, how mental health and addiction is through the roof, higher than it's ever been before. But he fails to also say that he is the one, his government is the government that created this mess. They've been in power for 8 years. You can't go blame the government before, because those problems didn't exist with the Harper government. This is all on Trudeau and the current Liberals and the NDP, to be quite honest, because the NDP have been propping up this Liberal government for years. So to attack your main rival, who's leading in the polls, because he's talking about the things that Canadians are actually worried about. It's like Trudeau's out to lunch. He really is. Now, Tuesday night this week, Pierre did meet with some protesters at the Nova Scotia, New Brunswick border. Some of those vehicles did have F. Trudeau flags or stickers. But you see those everywhere. I've never... It's kind of crazy. Like, I'm 42 this year. Never in my life have I seen stickers that say F the Prime Minister. You know? We never saw stickers or flags that said F Chrétien or F Harper or F Maroney. But we see F. Trudeau stickers. There's a reason for this. People have reached that breaking point. People are frustrated. People are struggling. And the only person to blame is the guy who's in charge. If you work at, you know, you work at a tool and die shop. We'll just use that as an example. And the place is falling apart. There's no business. They're paying workers next to nothing. The machines are breaking down. who are you going to blame? You're going to blame the owner, right? There's nobody else to blame at that point. You got to blame the person at the top, because at the end of the day, that guy at the top or girl at the top is making the decisions. And sure, there may be people under them, but it's your job at the top as the boss to make sure that those people under you are doing their job competently. And if they're not, then it's your job as the boss to get rid of those people. That's your job. So again, the same thing happens with politics. If you're the mayor or you're the premier or you're the prime minister, it's you're the boss. It's your job to put people in certain portfolios and in certain positions to get the job done. And now they are taking orders from you. Or maybe you're like, hey, I trust you. You know what you're doing. I trust you to get the job done. But if those people don't get the job done, you got to make a change. People are frustrated. That's why you're seeing F. Trudeau stickers. That's why you're seeing F. Trudeau flags. That's why you're seeing people protesting. So, look, Pierre Poilievre has said numerous times he will meet with anybody, whether he agrees with them or doesn't agree with them. People are frustrated, and you may not agree with everything. You're never going to agree 100% with anybody. I've said it here on the show before. You shouldn't agree 100% with everybody. I've never met anyone in my life that I agree 100% with everything that they say or believe. It's never going to happen. These protesters have been demonstrating in opposition to the carbon tax. Pierre Poilievre has been crossing the country saying that he's going to axe the carbon tax. He's going to get rid of it. And he's been pressuring the Liberal government to alter its pollution pricing policy. But the Liberal NDP coalition doesn't want to. Despite what the NDP comes out and says, despite what Jagmeet Singh says, they're going to continue to prop up this Liberal government because they know this is the only way that they can even get just a few of their policies passed. And as I said earlier, they want to make sure that certain individuals, again, including Jagmeet Singh, including MP Eric Kazmierczak, and including dozens of other MPs, Liberals, and NDPs, they want to make sure that they all get their pension because they know that the majority of them are not going to win again. And so that is why they moved that election date, as I said. So the Prime Minister says with, you know, Pierre Poilievre meeting the protesters, it, quote, really shows that he will do anything to win. Why? Because he wants to go meet with people? Maybe the Prime Minister should start meeting with real Canadians. People who are actually struggling. Instead of having his $5,000 a plate dinners. Because those, if you can afford a $5,000 a plate dinner, hell, if you can afford a $500 a plate dinner, well, you're definitely not struggling. Let's just leave it at that. All right, enough about that. We do have Tony Smith from Garage Gym on the line with us right now. So, Tony, it's week three of the six-week transformation. I'm down 11 pounds so far. But honestly, more importantly, Tony, I feel better overall. I don't feel bloated. I don't feel tired all the time. Even my clothes are starting to fit better, which is always a plus. So clearly this program is working.
Yes, you're hitting all the right points too, man. Like, I know that like the consequence of the results might be lost. Weight loss for some people, but like that's not how we want to have our measuring stick. It is about how are you feeling, how are you sleeping, how do your clothes fit, how's your mood, how's your, you know, how is your temperament. Those things are like first and foremost, and then if you keep focusing on that, the results will most likely be weight loss for a lot of people. So it all goes hand in hand. So we're happy to hear that, man. Good job.
Well, it's funny you mentioned mood too, because my mood is better. I feel confident. Like just even you know, walking into, you know, into stores. I don't know. My chest is out a bit more. I guess I feel more confident in myself, right? Because there's nothing worse than, you know you're overweight, you know you're out of shape, and then you lose that self-confidence, and that confidence has started to come back, which is great.
You know, it's so, I think, underrated, and I think we're lying to our children a little bit when we're telling them, it is the first judgment people make is how you carry yourself, right? And when you walk in a room, and then how you carry yourself stands so much, or relies so much on how you feel about yourself. And I know from a police officer, our first, the first use of force, the first way of calming something down is just your presence alone, how you wear that uniform. And I think it's the same for us as people. And I'm glad to hear you say that, especially the chest popping out thing, especially after today's workout.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk about today's workout a little bit, just because obviously we discussed it last week about how, like, not only you, but all your trainers are on top of everybody's form and making sure that, you know, we have the right form when we're lifting. But I also love that you guys constantly change the workouts up. Like, it's not like, all right, Mondays is leg day, Tuesdays, is shoulder. It's like, it's not like it's the same thing every Monday, the same thing every Tuesday, the same thing every Wednesday. It's kind of a surprise. And you guys even kind of modify some of the moves as well.
Yeah, we are very intentional and deliberate with what we're doing and when we're doing it in terms of like an overall program. But we do understand that I told you last week that consistency is king, right? And like the best, we're not going to get any results if we can't get you to show up. So we have to keep that, that little every couple of weeks, switching things up a little bit here and there really keeps people attached and keeps you showing up, which is like the number one driver to results. So it really does work. It is intentional. It is focused and deliberate, but like we do like to switch things up to continue to drive results.
Well, and I am showing up. I mean, I honestly love everything about Garage Gym. Like, it's not just the gym. It's the program. It's the people. It's everything about it. And honestly, I thought that the hardest part about this whole thing would actually be going to the gym. Like getting my ass to the gym every day. But it's that isn't the hard part. It's actually the eating part of it. And it's not because I'm eating bad. It's hard to actually get in all the proteins and the calories when you're eating healthy. I mean, it's easy to get in, all those calories when you're sitting there eating a bag of chips on the couch, not doing anything. When you're actually eating healthy meals, it's kind of hard to hit those targets.
Right, because like the calories are different, right?
Right.
The substance behind like that bag of chips versus the substance behind, a steak and some potatoes and some vegetables. It is just totally different, right? It's like, they say you could get like all your protein in a peanut butter. Well, sure you could, but it'd be a garbage pail full,
right?
So you're not going to be able to consume that. Like that's kind of the way people, I don't think, see things until you start to learn. And I am curious to ask, like, are you starting to see a carryover to your family, your son?
I am, yes. Like, we're all eating healthier. And I notice, at least...
That's the best part, man.
Absolutely.
It's like a ripple effect, and I love that part. I love hearing that.
My wife has been eating healthy for a few years now, but it was tough to get me and my son to then change. And so, he's 10, and I started realizing, I need to change, because then he's already looking at me now and saying, well, I want to eat healthy too. I don't want to be overweight when I'm older. Like he's asking, can I come to the gym too? And like,
yes.
Now he's like, he joined track and field and he wants to be active. And he does wrestling at Garage Gym in Windsor on Saturdays, So he's now like trying to get active too, because he sees that his dad is getting active, which is amazing. Like it almost makes me tear up.
That's worth all the investment, right? Like, yes, 100%. I love hearing that. You said you're getting teary-eyed. I cut you off there, but I'm also getting teary-eyed hearing that stuff, because that is like the difference makers. I mean, people look at me and maybe can't, not to sound too arrogant, but maybe people are like, well, I can't do that. But like the reason I think I have been able to like sustain the shape I'm in for so long was, we had a scare in my family, a little heart scare when we were young, and my mom started cooking completely organic and cooking like real whole foods. And that just became a way of life for me since I was like 9 years old. And that's the foundation that you're building for success for your kids in the future. And now you're setting that example. I just love to hear that stuff.
And it's true. Like you even notice a difference. We're buying farm fresh eggs now. We're buying, grass fed butter. And you notice just with the color and the taste, it's like, man, like what is in that other garbage? Right.
It's wild, right? A strawberry, an organic strawberry, tastes like candy. It's crazy, the flavor. It's scary and great all at the same time, I guess, that you're doing that. Also scary that so many people don't, and that is just so pushed.
And I think that goes with, you know, you are what you eat, right? So if you're eating junk, you're going to feel like junk. Your mind's going to be junk. If you eat healthy, then you're going to feel better, and you're feeding all that. It all goes to your brain and your heart and everything, right? So your mind is going to be sharper too.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I thought, like, that's one of the biggest feedbacks. You know, we do our check-ins with everybody, and, you know, everybody's got probably 10 to 20 clients that they're checking in on. And one of the biggest feedbacks is how they're sleeping better and they feel clarity, like they can focus more.
It's funny. The first 2 weeks I was like constantly craving, you know, the high carb foods like the pasta, the pizza. And even look, I love my donuts, man. What can I say? I love donuts. Now, who doesn't? But I scroll through Instagram or TikTok now. So, you know, at night, and I see some of those videos, you know, with the desserts and the unhealthy foods, and where before I'd be like, oh my God, I need to try that. We need to go there. I'm actually like, even today, like, I'm kind of grossed out by it now. Like, I drive by a fast food restaurant and you can smell it. And I'm like, that smell where I used to crave it, now I get grossed out by it. And it's only been a few weeks, and I don't know what's changed, but it's so weird.
Absolutely. You get a little bit of sugar in like your coffee by accident or something, you know, you go through the drive-thru and you're like, oh my God, what is this? Like you just start to taste so much more, like a lot sharper, I guess is the word I'm looking for. And it is true. And like every time, like we have so many people who redo the 6 week transformation. It's not really because they like put all the weight back on. Occasionally it is, but it's because of that. It's like, you'll come out, you're operating, say you're operating at a 90% right now, and you came in at a 50%. Well, when you leave here, you'll be continue to operate at like a 65. And then the next time you come through, you're operating at a 75. You just continue to level up with these little like kind of actualizations that you're going to come to. And it's awesome to hear that.
And, you know, sometimes we all need a little kick in the butt sometimes, right?
Absolutely. It's like a slingshot. That's all.
Exactly.
You know, my trainers and I, we're all doing it. We all just need a little slingshot there to get you going. And you do come out just like 1 degree better on the other side of it always.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I feel better. Like, you know, maybe it's tough to get there early in the morning, but after I'm done, I'm so happy that I did it, and I feel better the rest of the day. And that's what keeps me going every single day, is knowing that I feel better the rest of the day. I sleep better. And then again, it's the long term, right? Again, 3 weeks and I'm already feeling better. So again, I keep looking forward to, oh my gosh, how am I going to feel after the 6 weeks and then the 6 months and then the year, right? So
yeah. And this is where like the good habits you've put in need to really hammer home, like the middle of the challenge. Like you're going to see the messaging coming out the next couple of days. These are the dog days of the challenge.
Awesome.
It's like at the start and the finish is easy for people. The middle is like the part where we start to like, it's hard to stay. It's hard to stay because, you know, it's now you're really relying on those habits that you've hammered home for the last like 3 weeks. So continue at it, man. Keep showing up and get out of that bed in the morning. That's all you need to do.
Well, I intend to. And also, you know, man, you got three locations. Again, for those people who don't know, you got Windsor, Kingsville, and Amherstburg. People can do online if they want. You even have like a kids session that you guys do in Amherstburg, I believe, right? There's like a like just for kids only?
Yeah, we call it our Jack Juniors program. It's at 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. on Saturday mornings in Amherstburg. And yeah, it's just for kids. And then, of course, our partners here in Windsor, Scientific Wrestling. I mean, that is as good as any workout, and it's great for kids' confidence. I think every kid should wrestle. So that's awesome for kids too. And I know your kids doing that. So we do have a couple of programs that go on for children, and I love to, the more kids, the better, honestly, the better this world will be in the future.
Absolutely. And again, that has helped my son too, because he was very shy, and now he's got that confidence level too, right? From going to Scientific Wrestling, and it's really helped his confidence level a lot. So I appreciate you guys doing that stuff, man. It's all about the kids, man. They're the future, right? So, and you realize that as a parent, you'd do anything for your children.
For sure. For sure. And that's my last point. Everybody says that, but will you get healthy for your child? It's like, you know, you're able to stave off some of those things that happen to us in old age and be there longer and enjoy more time with your children. You know, that's the next step level of, I'll do anything for my kids. Do it.
Absolutely, man. We'll leave it at that. Again, Windsor, Kingsville, Amherstburg. Visit them online, thegaragegym.com. Sportsnet.net. You can get a week free even if you want. And trust me, after that week, you're never going to leave. So thanks, Tony. I appreciate it, man. We'll chat with you again next week.
Thank you.
There you go. Tony Smith of Garage Gym. Always appreciate him chatting with us. And we'll chat with him again, like I said, next week. Hoping to actually have him in here, if not next week, the week after. And maybe we can do like sort of a long form thing with Tony Smith. Talk about his past. Of course, his dad was a former Windsor police chief. Tony worked for the Windsor police for many years as well. So I think he'd be an interesting person to have a good conversation with. Speaking of someone who's always good to have a conversation with, Ward 3 Councillor Ronaldo Agostino waiting on the other line. So let's get right to it. So Ronaldo, big announcement this week, strengthening the core downtown Windsor revitalization plan. First off, I don't love the name. I like the strengthening the core. I don't know if I like the downtown Windsor part, just because it's not only focused on downtown Windsor. And I think this is one thing that I want to discuss that with you, is that this isn't just focused on downtown Windsor. It's, you know, it's going to help all the wards, really, right?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the name, you know, when the mayor's office put this all together, obviously with Strategy Corp, it started off as a plan for downtown. And that's where I think the downtown focus really came into play. But as the plan moved along and we saw the benefits of everything that was going to happen to the rest of the city, right? You start looking and saying, well, wait a second. Do you mean ambulance police times are going to be shorter because we're going to have this dedicated team downtown? And then it took more of an overlooking look at the rest of the city and how much it could benefit the rest of the city, not just from policing and supports, but also from like a viability of financially of being better. Like, so I think it was kind of hard after already going in with that downtown revitalization thing. I think it would have been very, the skeptics would have had more fodder if they would have said, well, look, all of a sudden it's changed from not being the downtown revitalization plan to now being, but yeah, you're 100% right. This plan supports this entire city, and that's what we need.
And so, yeah, because one of the questions I've already gotten from a lot of residents is they're saying, well, but now all the police are going to be focused on downtown, and then those problems are going to spread out, right, to Erie Street, Ottawa Street, Wyandotte and Walkerville, BIA, and, you know, even into South Walkerville. And what I've been told by the police chief, by the mayor, and, you know, and some of the other staff at the city of Windsor, they've said, well, no, actually, you know, sure, those problems may spread. You may get, you know, a few bad seeds kind of going out. But now those officers that, you know, are in Ward 4, that are supposed to be in Ward 4, are actually going to be able to stay there because they're not going to be getting pulled to downtown every day to deal with downtown issues.
Well, Mark, you know, I talk to you every day, and I think you already have the issues. You know what I mean? Like, not ignoring the problem, but not focusing in on where the heart of the problem is, has caused other issues in other wards, mm-hmm. right? And you see it predominantly. Fabio sees it, I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
Because we're not focusing in on solving some of these social issues and some of the crime issues, right? And some of the vitality issues of downtown Windsor. We're starting to see other parts of the city starting to suffer from it too. And that's why it's so important to get to the root of the issue, which is downtown. Right. Which is downtown. And believe me, some of the problems we're not going to solve. Right. It's not in our purview to solve some of these issues. But we can't let things keep going the way things are going, because our businesses, our residents have suffered. Right. They have suffered. They continue to suffer. And they need all of our help, not just mine, not just Drew's, everybody's help. Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's not just a policing thing. And that's what I like about this. Everybody's kind of focusing on, oh, they're going to hire more officers. There's going to be more police downtown. But, you know, you don't hear, and we should be pushing this more, is what there's going to be, you know, expansion in the nurse police team. There's going to be cameras added downtown, expanded hours and staff at H4, which is huge. And I think
two nurses.
Yeah.
Two nurses at H4, right? Full-time nurses.
Exactly. And I think, though, that with the nurse police team, just those two things alone are going to make a huge difference. That's going to, that's enormous right there.
Yeah, for sure. And then, you know, even stepping away from the social issues that exist or the criminal issues that exist, you brought up a long time ago, right? I think maybe 6 months ago, correct me if I'm wrong, you brought up the idea of proactive enforcement when it comes to bylaw.
Yep.
Right? Yeah, I believe it was your CQ.
It was, yeah. Yeah, it is. And it's going to be coming to committee, I think, later on this month or next month, yeah.
Yeah, and in that plan, there's one dedicated bylaw officer to just focus on downtown for the first year, right? And then after that, that officer starts working in other parts of the city, right? So that is another huge, huge step, because we have downtown this huge issue with boarded up buildings, vacancies, properties that aren't taking care of their surrounding areas or themselves. This is that first step into proactive bylaw, right? About doing something rather than waiting for somebody to call. That's what this whole plan is really about. Let's stop being reactive. Let's start being proactive. And I believe that I just stole your words.
you did steal right? my words, but it's okay. And no, I agree. And yeah, the whole bylaw aspect of it too is great. And I'm glad we're finally moving forward on this, because hey, me and you, and we've talked to Craig Robertson in bylaw many times and Rory there. And we've said, they've told us that wards 3 and 4 have like the highest calls for bylaw yep. complaints, property standards issues, right? And that's why I brought that CQ forward originally, because we all know, look, like, you know, one garbage bag or a mattress or something gets thrown behind somebody's house in an alley and then it stays there a week. Well, then all of a sudden now there's 2 garbage bags and 2 mattresses. And then after a month, there's encampments and there's, you know, 20 bags of garbage and, you know, there's dumping. And so I think that proactive bylaw is important, because then we're addressing these things in a more timely manner. So that way they don't get out of control. You can address it before it becomes a huge, huge problem.
Yep. Yep. And it's got to be done, right? And the longer we wait, the more it's going to cost us in the future. So let's get, just like anything else, right? You got that leaky faucet, you let it keep leaking, right? Eventually, if you don't fix that problem, it's going to cost you a lot more than it would have cost you to get it fixed.
I was at my buddy's house on the weekend, and just literally speaking of the leaky faucet, we were like, you know, making our salami and sausage day. It was one of those days. And I'm like, you got a leak there on your faucet. And he goes, oh man, that's getting big. Last week it was just a drip, and now it's like flowing down. And, you know, so it made me think of that. But it's true, right? Address these issues while they're small, and then they won't become bigger, more expensive issues in the long run. And I mean, we're seeing that, right? If these issues would have been addressed maybe, you know, a few years ago, maybe we wouldn't have these huge issues that we're dealing with now. And look, there is a price tag to this as well, right? And a lot of people kind of complaining about, you know, this proposed increase in property taxes. I mean, it's only 0.7%. But I get that some people, you know, people are struggling, right? So it's going to bring this year's tax hike up to about 4.61%. But you can't just sit around and do nothing either. So it's like, okay, well, would you rather just do nothing? Because we're hearing, we were hearing this on the campaign trail, and we've been hearing it since we've been elected. People don't feel safe going downtown. People are always complaining about, oh my God, remember years ago, downtown used to be so amazing. There were so many businesses, you know, and now I just don't feel comfortable going down there. And so look, we got to do something. And unfortunately, it's nothing's free in life, right?
So the good one about this is we're going to get our money back.
Absolutely.
Right? We're going to get it back. This is an investment. This isn't a cost. Right. When you look at the opportunities and the level of upswing that can happen in our downtown core, right, you look at the investment that comes in. We make the initial investment by supporting it. Other business owners, other corporate entities have already started making those investments. Right. If we get the community to believe in downtown again, they will invest in downtown. And in turn, we will see that ROI, that return on investment. Just like the city of Detroit, Mayor Duggan announced property taxes going down $1 million because of how Detroit is doing, right? So it's not unheard of to say you get out what you put in, right? And the more we put in, the more we're going to get out. And as long as we continue to let downtown down, we're going to pay for it. Everybody, not just the Ward 3 council or the citizens of downtown, everybody's going to end up paying for it, right? And it continues to happen. And it's going to get worse unless it gets better. And the only way it gets better is if we put our foot on the gas and try and succeed. And that's what we're trying to do here.
And, you know, I know some people get upset, you know, that we bring up Detroit a lot, but it's right across the river, right? Like, I mean, we're sister cities here. But Detroit is a good example because there's a city that went through bankruptcy and decades and decades of, you know, being the murder capital of the U.S. and high crime and people leaving the downtown. All the sports teams pretty much were out, were, you know, gone. The Pistons were gone. The Lions were gone. And so what they had to do, though, and again, it's just what we now have to do, make downtown safe. And that's what Detroit did. They cleaned it up. They made it safe. They put in cameras. And then once it's safe, then you will start seeing that investment and that return on investment, especially. And you'll start seeing those people with money saying, you know what? The city is all in on this. Well, you know what? Now I'm going to go all in too.
Yeah. And it's not just us that, and I know sometimes we get caught talking a lot about Detroit and people have this thought that, well, you're just across the river. Of course, it's a proximity. When I was in Chicago for the downtown conference this year, everybody's talking about Detroit. Everybody's talking about Detroit, right? Because Detroit is that great model of public-private partnership, right? To revitalize their downtown core. And you just have to watch the city address by Mayor Mike Duggan. And he sounds, I looked at watching Drew's announcement the other day as well. So many similarities in the passion and the care for their downtown, for their city. And I know there's a lot of rhetoric out there in the past that, well, the city didn't care about downtown, the city doesn't this. And now everyone's confused because now the city's actually presented a real plan, right, on helping to revitalize downtown Windsor. And how could we not support this?
Absolutely. Again, I've been hearing it. We were hearing it during the campaign and we've been hearing it ever since. I know you are the downtown councilor, but you always say I'm kind of a downtown councilor, too. Like a lot of my ward is, you know, part of downtown. Downtown doesn't Absolutely. Just end at McDougal. It still does continue on, you know, even into my ward past Almer. And, you know, you said it before. You think Jackson Park is really downtown also. I think even Erie Streets, you know, I sometimes Absolutely. Say Erie Street is downtown, you know?
Absolutely. And that's the thing. We have to stop thinking of our downtown as this one street. Downtown is a neighborhood, right? Downtown is part of our city. Everybody in this city has a piece of downtown in them, whether it's from their parents being downtown shopping at Kresge's back in the day or them partying on Olet Avenue in the 90s and 2000s. Everybody in this city has had an experience, a memory of downtown. And what you have to ask yourself these days is ask people. Go talk to the youth of today and ask them what they think of their downtown, right? 3,500 people participated in the downtown survey. And I'll tell you, the results were not good. And anybody, like, I feel safe downtown. I know you feel safe downtown. Mm-hmm. But you know who doesn't feel safe downtown? The investment. The investors. The people that are still investing here are asking us, we need help. And we have to convince the people that are create these events, that create these businesses to say, listen, your money's safe in downtown Windsor. You're going to profit if you come and open up a business down here. Right. And that's part of the job here. Because I know I hear it all the time. People are like, there's nothing wrong with downtown. There's nothing wrong with downtown. And believe me, I've invested in downtown for the last 30 years of my adult life, my entire adult life. But I hear it from my partners down here. I hear it from people that operate businesses down here. Right. And that's the thing. We have to make investment. We have to make business owners feel that not only are they going to stay, but that new ones are going to come in and continue to invest because there's only so much a city can do. Right. We can't operate. We can't open up a new live music venue and operate it. Right. We can't build a hotel and operate it. That's not what we do. Right. We're busy enough as it is. I don't even know where we'd find the time if we had to. Right. But those are things we need the private investors to come in and do that. I talked to a very, very famous restaurateur who, you know, I'm not going to name any names, but who watched the announcement and said, Ronaldo, if this gets passed, I'm looking downtown.
Wow.
Right? I'm looking downtown, right? You guys got to get this done because no matter how you spin it or what you say, like, it is what it is. And perception is reality to people. And we gotta fight that. And we're going to win this, right? We're going to win this. Downtown's going to bounce back. It's a new day. We need to ignite the new flame of downtown Windsor.
And once we get those, once we, you know, can make it safe, we can clean it up. We'll get that investment, not only again from those developers and those businesses, but also we're going to get people living downtown. And that is very important as well. We need people to not only want to work downtown, but also live downtown. And I think we also need to start, and I think that's going to be part of the next steps as well, is what can we do to incentivize people to live and work downtown, right? And that's something that's going to be exciting.
What do we got to do to get these projects that are going finished, right? What do we got to do to get the securities building finished?
Yeah.
What do we got to do to get the Canada building finished? What do we got to do to reopen West Court? I'm literally looking out the window at City Hall, looking at all these potential residential places that would be, that are literally the lowest hanging fruit in solving our problems.
And we've approved numerous ones too. Like there's the one, you know, behind the old Woody's outhouse there near the fire station. We've approved a project there. There's more on Riverside Drive. We've approved a lot of residential projects. So what do we need to do to get these people to actually start building? But again, I think that comes with this. We gotta make downtown safe and make them want to be like, oh my God, downtown is so cool. We want to be a part of this. We need to build now because people are begging to start living down there.
Residential is the lowest hanging fruit for us to change things around down here as quickly as possible. It's the most needed thing in our community, in many communities right now. And it's one of the, and I tell people all the time, I'm the ward counselor that will never complain about a 25-story building.
Right? Yeah.
You want to go up? Go up. Don't worry about it. You're not going to hear it from me. You've heard me joke about it at council when people are like, what do you mean I can't go taller? Like, I'll take it. I need it, right? I need that density. So that's where I'm going, Ben.
I love it, man. I love it. And I also like the adding of the auxiliary police officers to parks as well. I know you've had some issues in parks. I've had issues in some of my parks like Lansbury and Willistead Park as well. And I like that we're getting, you know, those auxiliary officers patrolling our parks because people want to feel safe in their parks also. So that's a good announcement, which was thrown in here as well. So again, it's not just police. And look, And me and you have had this discussion. I mentioned it on AM 800 earlier this week as well. Like, yeah, police are going to be down there, but it's not like they're going to be, you know, banging in heads. They're not going to be, you know, but if you are a criminal, if you're smashing windows, if you're doing drugs on the street, if you're causing a disturbance, you will get arrested. You will. Yeah. There's zero tolerance for that kind of garbage, right? And you should be arrested if you're doing something illegal, if you're looting. Again, if you're smashing windows, you're robbing people, you should be arrested, and police are going to do that. But again, we are going to have, again, those extended hours at H4 from 6 p.m. until midnight. We're going to have an expansion of the nurse police team, and we're going to add cameras. We're going to add lights. I know people are, you know, the camera thing, you get some people on the other side of it. Oh, Big Brother's watching, but police will tell you they can't charge someone unless there is proof. And the cameras give them the proof to then go to the courts and say, here's video of this person smashing that window or robbing that individual. And then they can get charged and thrown in jail. And I know you've been dealing with the cameras for a while. You kind of have had that test project going, right? And it's been going well, which is why they're going to expand.
It's been so successful. Right. And you just look at the city of Detroit again. Right. They implemented it. They started in 6 gas stations. Now there's over 700 cameras and those flashing green lights.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't realize they had that many. Even.
Yes. Wow. Over 700 now. Right. So it's like it's a game changer. It's one of those game changers. And it's not policing. It's not like how many times do people drive by Olette and Wyandotte and see somebody passed out in the middle of the median and just look away and nobody goes to help that person because we're so desensitized from it. How many times has it happened? If we got these cameras and people see this, right away we're sending support, right? So I'm looking forward to the debate on the 13th. And like I said, this is a vote to, you know, for our city and for our downtown, and hopefully everybody sees it that way. And I really appreciate being on with you today, man.
Absolutely, buddy. I know you're busy. I'll let you go. And thanks for everything you're doing, not only for downtown, but the city of Windsor. I always say, you know, me and you chat almost every day, and you're the counselor I work most closely with. Again, we have a lot of the same issues, shared interests.
We share a lot of friendly people together.
We do. But you are a true champion and the hardest working person I've ever met in my life. And I truly mean that. So thanks so much, man. I appreciate it, dude.
I appreciate it. Thanks, brother.
And there you go. Ronaldo Agostino, Ward 3 counselor. It's going to be an interesting debate when it comes to council in just a few weeks. All right. I'm going to wrap up this show. We're almost at an hour now, so I try to keep them under an hour if possible. So thanks so much for tuning in. Make sure to visit WindsorPodcast.com. Subscribe, like, follow the podcast if you can, and make sure to share it with your friends, your family, grandma, and everybody else. I will talk to you soon. You can always reach out again at windsorpodcast.com, ward4windsor.com, or just email me, mmckenzie@citywindsor.ca. It's the Windsor Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Windsor Podcast. Find more at windsorpodcast.com.